go through some of the things that I have. First of all, went up and spent some time with Ron Henderson yesterday before he sets out today. And had a wonderful time with him. We spent lengthy time just talking and spending some very valuable time together. Continue to be in prayer for him and Nancy. Man, just gone through so much and has so much more to go through. Ron, among many things that we discussed, most of which is spiritual, but relayed that in the actuality, you've got God's in control. Then we deal with the human, you know, statistics, if you please, that in actuality, probably 6 months to a year is what Ron thinks he has left. He said, yeah, when you get the cancer to the degree that he's got it and all that has gone on, he's following classic, you know, the way the classroom, the way they would almost diagnose what would happen, and he's following it with each part of the body being attacked and different things happening. So, well, it's not the same cancer, but the cancer is there, and it is a when this part of the body, you know, if you hurt, for example, if you hurt your right hip, you know, you're gonna put your right left knee, it has to take a lot of the thing, so you put some pressure on it. So it is related, but not directly, and the continual process. The gallbladder that he came down with emergency operation, and then had, in fact, he came in and had an emergency operation and had another one Wednesday night that was really severe. He showed me the scar. People like to show you the scars, and I'm not into looking at scars. And going to the hospital is there is a wonderful spiritual gift, and if you have it, please, you ought to use it. There's something about people who can go into a hospital. Dr. Ironside wrote an interesting thing in dealing with spiritual gifts, and he said he's taught on them, and he's not that isn't his gift of encouragement and help in the hospital. And he said he saw it in action. A man in his church wanted, there was a dying man, and a man in his church that went to the hospital a lot said this man wanted to meet him. So, you know, Dr. Ironside said, okay, you know, all right, I don't know why he wants to meet me and all this, but so he goes down there and walks in, and he said the man is dying. You know, there's hardly any life there in this man lying in the hospital. And he said this other man from his church just went over, just immediately put his arm around the guy, leaned over and whispered some things. He saw a smile on this guy's face, and then the guy motioned, and Ironside said, even with that, I didn't know, you know, what am I supposed to say, and went over. But anyway, we had a really good conversation, and he just relayed that if things go, you know, maybe 6 months to a year is what they're looking at. And just so beautiful. He said, you know, I'm just not afraid to die, Herman. And when they rolled me in the first time this last week and then Wednesday night, he just said, there's a real peace when you know if they don't roll me out of that room, that means I'm in heaven with my Lord. And he said, I feel sorry for Nancy and my family, but for me, I'm that's fine. And we did a lot of talk. He went through in fact, I wish that he could give you his talk about his story of coming to the realization of some of the things that we've been studying on faith and the trip that God took him on, and all the way to when we started our change and things started happening in his life, all these things, and he reached a point of, you know, he went back. I don't think he would mind, but because it was just a beautiful story, he reached the point of going. Remember, he's been a Christian nearly all his life, like myself, since he was a young boy. Is there a God? And then it became so real to him, so evident, all the things that we had just started our journey on the spiritual life by faith. And that is the battle. He said, you can't believe how right on you are, and sorry so many people have left, and we talked about that. But be in prayer for Ron, be in prayer for Nancy and the family, and at this time. Talk to Tim Turner. Jeff was admitted to a hospital Sunday morning. He had so many things, but manic depressant, and he almost followed a classic. And what they have to do with the chemical imbalance going on, and I talked to her tonight, and they said what they've got to do now, they've already brought him to some good stability, almost back to himself, and he's just a wonderful person when at that point. But what they've got to do now, like you do with any insulin, you've got to find out how much and exactly what percentage, what type of thing. So he'll be in there for a little bit, just going through these kinds of tests. Please be in prayer for, continue to be in prayer for Jeff. I know you are, and Tim. Hope he'll come up and spend a week or so with me. But just be in prayer for him. And it's a rough time for everybody. Sometimes you go through that, and it can be embarrassing, but it's not going to be embarrassing here at this assembly for him, and I know that, so I have no problem. I don't even think I'm going to say any more than Wednesday night's teaching. So whatever journey God's taken him through, and I'm very sorry for Kim and Jeff, but whatever God is doing, then that's what's going on in his soul and in his body. So please be in prayer for Jeff and for Kim at this time. Certainly be in prayer for Dan, Dr. Dan Hill, Rob Becker, John Hintz. John is so crazy. God uses just different kind of men. That's all there is to it in the ministry. And Rod is one kind. It took Rod a long time to get used to being around John, because John just cannot be serious. I mean, he can be sitting there talking about the most serious thing in the world, and he's going to throw you that curve right in the middle of it, you know. It's faith, and it's, well, that's what you got to do. You got to walk by faith. And he'll say, yeah, and tithing, you know. He just sits there going, and he has that timing of a comedian just to slide it at the right point. And just little statements. And people that are tense, who I have in mind, Rob, you know, they're not into that humor. And I'm sitting over there cracking up, and so now Rob's mad at both of us, but been for God just uses so many different types, and Dan just kind of thinks we're all kind of over there, but being prayer for them, the different battles that they and their assemblies go through, so please bear that in mind. Okay, those are some that I have on my mind right off. Any other prayer requests? Go through them. Yes. It's important. David's bringing us into not only another believer seeing these things, but I want you to think about what we're talking about in David and Stephanie's life and the family. This is his father-in-law, Stephanie's father. His name is Tim. He's still at IM, and we've been in prayer for Tim, David, Steph, and I, and the mother. And David has that for the first time. Great opportunity. You pray for him, and sometimes impose him. You've talked to him before. then you know when it's not you opposing it. It just, boom, the man brings it up, and it's a really wonderful thing. So you understanding how important it is to walk by faith, be in prayer for Kim, and now that seed has been planted. Like it had been in prayer, neglected to mention a lady named Christy, and met her on the plane, and she just sat there, and about 2 hours just drinking in a lot of the charts and different things we were doing on the plane, and please be in prayer, and be in prayer for Kiss's brother Johnny. By the way, how do you spell it? N I E. Okay. We have Jeff. We have Jeff Turner and his sister Kim Turner. And then we have various pastors that are in the battle. And so let's remember to be in prayer for them, some things for them. Ron Henderson, Ron and his wife Nancy, and their family, please be in prayer for them. We have Chris's son-in-law, Ron, and we just had a wonderful time, and his eyes opened to so many things. So we have some people here that have entered into this realm of starting to see and understand what faith is about. So let's certainly be in prayer for them. Thank you. Anything else? Bruce, did you have anything else? They what?
They were made directly with payment right. And they're telling them that he'll also have a problem. One of the things that caused his problem. So I guess they called it bad or something like that in his blood
thing. Okay.
So they said the next time he would look forward to would be a heart problem. So they weren't sick.
Doctors are full of encouragement and really hit him there. Yeah. Give me his first name.
What?
First name?
His name is Alton.
Alton? Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Those are all the ramifications. They just come, and something, one thing hits. There's just so many things that come around it. Okay, any others? Yes. Yes. Yeah. First name? Gene. Okay. Be in prayer for Gene. Okay. Oh my goodness, all right. All right. How old of a man is Gene? 83, okay. All right. Let's see, he's 83 and he reared you. Well, he's had his life, huh? All right. Okay, we'll definitely be in prayer. Thank you. Any others? Yes.
Yeah, my sister, who lives in Houston, used to go to law school.
Yes.
They really
haven't found out how to search yet. Okay. That's a real battle. Once you really see the truth, and you know, I've had people call and write, you encourage us to go to the assembly, forsaking not the assembly, you know, well, where is this supposed to happen? And I understand that. And that is a battle because if you are walking in the Spirit, you have that desire. That's one of the things that happens one of the many things that happens when you're walking in the Spirit. And we're said in Hebrews, there's the forsaking not the assembly of yourself, which is the custom of many. But, it's a tough battle when you want to, and yet you go and sit and listen to works, and that's not edifying, and so it comes into to a severe problem. Very good, thank you. Okay, all right, let's be in prayer for each other. You know, there's battles that are going on in the assembly. Linda, did David ever get out of the snow? He got down off that mound out of that snow. Did he learn his lesson? Not to get up there in the top and all that snow. Oh, well, he is. What kind of 18-wheeler driver is he? Demolition? But, David got stuck. I didn't know, but he got stuck and couldn't get out up there and was having chills. And those of you know, he has some heart conditions also. So, just being prayer for him as he's out on the road and get on back here. That's very good. Okay. Any other requests? Continue to be in prayer for Kiss's father, Raymond, and just the Lord will work in his life and the surroundings around his life. What's going on around him. Okay? All right, well then, let's spend a few minutes together in prayer together and pray for each other. We don't mention each other's battles, each other's testings and things going on. Continue to be in prayer for Wes, be in prayer for Paul and Jean, and Kathy Casey moving here and trying to still get babysitters, work, everything in order. Continue to be in prayer for Sue. Be in prayer for all of us, everybody here. You know, we don't mention it a whole lot. Some of us come up, but we don't mention, you know, prayer for Kiss or Jim Passmore or Bruce sometime, and some of us think, well, they don't need our prayer. They just, nothing ever, everything happens in their life is just good, and but they're in the battle. Let's continue to be in prayer for them. Continue to be in prayer for David. David, how's your recovery going? Going pretty good. Very good. Okay. Good. That's an answer to prayer. That's good. Okay. All right. And I want y'all to be in prayer for Sunday in the study of Galatians. And I really mean that. I'd like you to spend a little bit of time each day from now on, now to Sunday, in regard to that study as we flow through the book of Galatians. All right. Let's spend some time in prayer for each other. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how appreciative we are for the love that the Holy Spirit pours to us. Otherwise, Father, we would want to control, judge, tax. But because of spiritual love, Father, we find ourselves simply praying for one another. People don't always do what we want them to do the way we want it done. But your Spirit pours through His love. What a privilege it is to come together and be in prayer for all these that we've named and openly and privately. Pray, Father, you'll continue to bring us those who need a prayer in various respects and answers to prayer and so many things that we can see you're working. And now, Father, as we spend a few moments orienting ourselves to who and what Jesus Christ is in our life, how important He is. Sometimes, Heavenly Father, we get so disoriented with people because we're not properly oriented to our relationship with Jesus Christ. He's the center. It is in His image that we're being transformed. Therefore, the way that we deal with each other is a manifestation of our view of you. It's a manifestation of our relationship with your Spirit. Father, we pray that your Spirit now will cause us to have our eyes open more and more in regard to the truth of who Christ is in our life. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Just a few minutes. I'd like to spend on a phenomenon that seems to be big in the papers and all of the, not all, many of the people in the gym. Economics. America's economics and what happened in the stock market. You got two words in dealing with an economic system. One is some concept of a free market versus a controlled market. Now, you're never going to have a totally free laissez-faire market, and you can and will have and have had in history a controlled market. But people don't even trust Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations. Few people even understand the thing. It's about that thick. And a book about like that. So it's a hard thing to even understand and grasp. But I just want to make a few comments about what's going on. We live in a lot of people, certainly no one here except maybe Jim, remembers the 29 crash. Remembers what happened in 29 crash. Economics in college, I wrote a paper on it. And all the things that happened in America didn't have to happen. The proof of that is what's happened since then. The resources were all still there, both mineral resources in the ground and on top of the ground and man, human, the population. So everything was there. Something happened to cause what happened there, and it didn't really happen yesterday going in today. It's why I want to spend just a moment in the Christian life. You see how quickly a market can just take a crash. Whether you go into this controlled element, this is man's answer to so many things. Just control. I mean, this is true in a Christian. I want to control my husband. I want to control my wife. Control this person. Control that. I just want everybody to do it the way I want it done. And it isn't going to happen. You don't get that privilege. So this is why God gave us in the spiritual realm, spiritual love, to take care of that in our own soul. But it's so easy for a market people to crash, especially the freer that it is. It's so easy for it to crash, and this is what bothers a lot of people. And as you have it so easy to cause this kind of disruption, economic history, you move closer and closer down this line toward a controlled market. Because we've got this idea, if we can control it, then we can control this collapse from happening. And that's not true. History proves that. But it's still man's thinking that we can do it. We can control it where we won't have this crash. And it just isn't going to happen. And the fact that it can crash is not bad. You don't want this kind of a controlled market. You want a market that is totally free. If that's not a possibility, you're not going to get that. But have a free market, and even with that possibility. But people, what I want to spend just a moment is to show you is this is how dynamic, that's a good word, how on a fine thread our Christian life is when you walk by faith. You can crash in a day. You can be powerful tomorrow, yesterday, walking by faith, and just people looking at you, and man, you're just shining. And then the next day, boom, and people, I'm talking about major crash. And then, boom, 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 come back and even go to higher heights than before. And there's not a design, but there's a parallel that I want you to see here, and this is the dynamic of living your life by faith. Living our life by faith is much like this, because a free market, people, you can read all of Adam Smith if you work your way through it, and I have not read all of it. I have read a lot of it. In the 4 years in economics, but I've not read it all. page to page. It's not something you take to bed and just read tonight. And I think I'll read 100 pages tonight and 100 pages tomorrow night, and by the end of the year I'll have it done. But you read it all, and there's just one page, one little thing that throws the whole thing into kilter for so many people. You're reading it all through, and he comes in and he throws a curve at you. Sounds so professional, so sound, so logic, so, I mean, just beautiful. And then he comes up with the invisible hand. And what is so important about that is that's where it all hangs. It hangs. Laissez-faire capitalism hangs on that hand. That's why people scream. What's going to guarantee the law of supply and demand? What's going to guarantee this market's going to work? Oh, man, you can't do that. You just can't do that, Adam. You've got to have some control to stop and control this. No, you don't. And this is why, and we talk about faith, but in economics, this is why our system is built on a system of faith, just trusting that it will work. And all that it takes, and then I'll get off of this, all that it takes is for something like what happened yesterday, and a businessman, like David Smith, has his company. So David freaks out. He drops two people from work, and he stops ordering immediately yesterday, going in this morning. He stops ordering any more material to put out new ones. So he's got two people that he's let go. He's got orders dropped now. So now what happens is the company that makes whatever his raw material that he would have been ordering, they're not getting that order, so they've got to drop people. Whereas, if you just keep ordering, and the next person keeps doing his work, and the next person just keeps doing their work, this doesn't have to happen. The cross doesn't have to happen. But you drop that faith, and boom, you freak out, you get scared, and the economy crashes. That's all that happened in 1929, dear people. And that's all that happens when yours and my life crashes. We just stop trusting him. We just said, I don't trust you, God, anymore. And that's when we take our cross. Now, here we're trusting a system and all. Here we're trusting God. And that's how quickly our lives can just take that cross. We're going along and we just become so despondent with God and stop. And the moment you stop trusting him, people, fear sets in. So here's some fear sets in, some anguish, some withdrawal, and then some anger. Anger starts setting in. A lot of things start happening in the soul. A lot of things you start envisioning a great number of things going on. Now, these words very much fit 1929. But these words very much fit Christians every day of their life when our faith crashes. When we just stop, we look at the circumstances, we look at our environment, we see the phenomenon, and we stop trusting God. You're not capable of handling this. I'm not capable of just continuing to trust you. And so we freak out. And we stop. And the moment you stop trusting him, then goes the flesh into action, and we want to control. We want to straighten things out. We want things the way we want them. Fear sets in. Anger sets in. A lot of things start coming in into the whole soul. And all that happened was we stopped trusting him. And that's how easy a stock market can occur. And that's how easy a crash can occur in a Christian's life. That's how easy. And this is what happens. We stop trusting God in this deal. This is okay. Not desirable, but it's okay. Because when you hear, you have to really start examining. And you just start back, like Ron Henderson was talking to me not too many years ago in his life. There is no God. And then he had to stand back and say, now do I really believe that? And he said, I was at block one. Okay, there is a God. I know nothing about him, but there is a God. And I just had to start what you've been teaching, this thing. And I know it's true. And sometimes God has to take us to this point. This is what the book of Job is about. It's going all the way down to here. From the three friends standpoint and from Job's standpoint. A faith crash. Just went straight all the way down. And it happens in our life. It can happen in a period of a day. And through the day, and then we recover. But what I'm talking about is where something really happens and your life just crashes. What has really happened when that occurs in your life? What has really happened, people, is your faith crashed. It was a cliff, withdrawn. I like the word crash because that fits what we're talking about. Your faith crashed. And the moment that your faith crashed, boom, your whole life takes in and all these other things take in. So, you know, when we look at the economic realm, it draws some good parallels to our own spiritual and Christian life. And I just encourage you to realize this. This is, gets up here, gets a little complicated, but it's really rather simple, too. This is very simple. Your life will crash if your faith crashes. It's what happened to Peter. His faith crashed. Christ used the word eclipse, but his faith crashed, and that was the condition he was in. And this is what happens to people. The faith crashes. And so we just understand how a believer can go like this. How can that happen to that believer? They've been a Christian for so long, and I expect there's so much more out of them. People, this is always under attack. And let me just show you something. Since this is so vulnerable, since this is so, it's just that thin thread, like a pier, is what happens in the Christian life. We want to go to some type of controls. Don't we? Want to start putting in some controls to control ourselves and control others. If I can set up these kind of controls, I can stop people from having this severe crash. No, you can't. In fact, it's going to be a worse one. What law is designed to do, as we'll see when we get to Galatians. But what I want you to see is why, one of the reasons why people do go to control. It's the same thing as in a free market. I just don't trust this. I just don't trust this. I got to take control. I don't trust the free market. I just don't trust that things are just going to work out. I mean, you're a very naive person if you think that all you have to do is just trust this market and there are going to be X number of people making pencils and X number of people buying pencils and X number of people cutting down trees and X number of people making the lead and it's all going to work out. You're a fool thinking it's going to work that way. It has. It can and it will continue. But that's why we see more and more controls coming into this because we just don't trust it. That's why you see more and more controls coming in the spiritual realm. Just don't trust faith. Don't trust faith in the Holy Spirit. That's too uncontrollable. It can crash. So let's put in some buffers to make sure it doesn't crash. Let's control people. Let's control their sin patterns. Let's control these things. It's just too vulnerable. No, this is the dynamic Christian life right here. Just going to keep trusting me. Okay. I want to finish up one session here that we started 2 weeks ago. And that is knowing Jesus Christ as the shepherd of your life. We're talking about knowing Jesus Christ. We have studied knowing Him as God. And that's a powerful, powerful thing to say about Jesus Christ, that He is God. Now, if He is God, then we want to know Him. How can we know God? Then we came to knowing God as coming in form of man, our Savior. Now, the next thing I wanted to cover was knowing Him as the shepherd, and this starts because we know Him as the good shepherd at our salvation, because the good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. Now we can know Him daily in our life, have an intimate relationship. One of the reasons people get so distraught with each other and with themselves and with life, people, we don't have that intimacy with Christ. I'm sorry. Very few people walk in a day-by-day relationship with the Lord, because if you did, you wouldn't treat other Christians and talk about each other the way the church does. If we were oriented to who and what the Savior is. So we have to know him, should know him as the shepherd. All right, let's open our text to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 for this first study. Hebrews chapter 13, and we're looking at verse 20 and 21. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21, and this is where we got cut off at the clock a couple weeks ago, so let's move into where we left off. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, knowing Jesus Christ as the great shepherd. The great shepherd of your life. Now remember, you've already met him as the good shepherd, and what do you know about him as a good shepherd? He lays down his life for me. We know that about him. That was our first coming to know him as a shepherd. That's why I'm picking the shepherd one first of all the things, and then he won't look through all of them. I'm just picking some in this study. But I wanted to cover this because this flows into now into your life. You can know him as the great shepherd. He is called the great shepherd. And it's a very important one because it shows us, it takes us back again to a study that we've seen over and over, and that is this pattern that flows. And we've already met him as the good shepherd. So this pattern of shepherd is going to continue, and we can know him in that same way. All right, Hebrews 13:20. Let's skip to our now. And the word now is, in this study, this is a conclusion. So we can say now in conclusion, if you please. The God of peace, title of God the Father, for it is God the Father who desires peace between himself and all fallen creatures. Please understand, God, he is not a God who's coming to get you, judge you, and cast you out, and hurt you, and cause you to live in fear and all of these things, people. Know what kind of God you have. He's not that kind of God. Man will hurt you. I'll talk about this a little bit tomorrow night. The pain that we know that fell on our Savior was from man, not God. Man did that to him. Man loves to hurt man. Your God is a God of peace. He first foremost seeks peace. So that's what you have here. So he is a God of peace, not hostility, not antagonism. He desires peace so much that he sent his son to die. Boy, I know Christians that would be just drop of a coin and they're ready to cut your throat. Drop of a coin and man, they're ready to hang you. I mean, our God is the kind, I'll send my son to die to reconcile you to me. But somehow we've got this ideal of Christian life is separation and attacking. Now, the God of peace who brought up or back, who brought back, brought up from the dead, resurrection. Resurrection, and the Greek word is in the plural, death, the spiritual and physical death of Christ on the cross, and this deals with the resurrection. The same power that brought Jesus Christ back is the same power we have in Romans chapter 8. All right, the God of peace who brought up, brought back from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep. He went down as the good shepherd. He comes up as the great shepherd. And that's the one I want you to know now. You know him as the good shepherd when he went down for you on the cross. Now let's know him as the great shepherd in our lives. And we are the sheep, the great shepherd of the sheep. The sheep now refer to believers, those who have personally believed in him. See, our shepherd, this is his title, our great shepherd, this is his title after the resurrection. This is his title for your relationship after you're married to him. After you've accepted him as Savior, the marriage hadn't taken place, but after we become part of the makeup of the bride. Now, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord. Well, I'd love to get distracted on the covenant because that's what we're studying in our study in the covenants in communion, but let's move on. But I just want to say one thing. Under the new covenant, how do we know Christ? We know him as the great shepherd. And in the new covenant, as the great shepherd, these things are all brought together. Now verse 21, very important. So let's get it flow. Now the God of peace, so we're doing this to God, who did something, who brought up the great shepherd. Now let's flip. Let's see what he says here so you'll see the flow of the sentence. Now the God of peace equip you in every good thing. See, from verse 20, the God of peace, then we have a parenthesis. Who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, that is Christ our shepherd, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even our Lord Jesus Christ, equip you. So if we took out that, it is not a parenthesis, but if you just kind of took it out, we'd read this. Now the God of peace equip you. All right, now I hope you see the structure. Verse 21, equip you in every good thing to do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. All of this again related to our being related to Christ as the great shepherd. Now let's see what we have happening here. I want you to note a couple of things. Verse 20 begins the sentence. Now, the God of peace, who? One, brought up or resurrected the great shepherd. Two, I'm just showing you quickly the structure of the verse. Two, equip you. The second thing that this great God of peace does, equip you. God has made a decision to raise up our great shepherd and to equip every believer. And the Greek word is very interesting here. Just very quickly, it's an aorist active optative. God Himself made this decision. God made the decision to do this equipping. Katartizo is the Greek word, and it means, I like what it means, it means to fully repair. As we think about our state as unbelievers, when we are brought up, because we are resurrected with Christ, we are crucified with Christ, we'll see that in Galatians, two things happen with the gospel. One, we die, two, we rise. We die with Him, and we are risen with Him. So this is our relationship with the great shepherd. So now, being resurrected, look what He does. He fully repairs. I love that. It to me, it's something beautiful, because I know my state in the flesh. And that's fully repaired now. It means to complete thoroughly, make perfect. Beautiful words of grace, not by anything that we do. Equip you, fully repair you, make you perfect to do His will. Equip you. Now, the next phrase, in every good work. The word for good is agapos, and the reason it is translated good thing, I want to spend a moment on. It is translated good thing. And the word is agapos. I'll just give you the English transliteration. Agatha. Agatha is the girl's name. It comes from this. Agatha. Good. Now, the two reasons why the Greek word agatha is translated good things. And I want to cover that because it's important. First of all, this is what we studied in Exodus chapter 24, isn't it? Remember the 10 camels? What did the 10 camels have on them? Good things. Good things of the gospel. Here comes the servant, Holy Spirit, and he's got these camels, and they're filled with all these good things. It's beautiful. When you just see things, as I was studying this, I just smiled. Just, here it is again and again, and it's all through Scripture. Genesis 24, all the way to now, it is all these good things that he equips us with. Now, so at the point of the saving faith in Jesus Christ, God the Father, God of peace, raised up the great shepherd and gave us a number of good things. Almost everyone we didn't know anything about. We didn't even know to ask for them. This is what's so beautiful about God's grace. We don't even know what to ask for, and yet He gives it. This is the kind of husband I want, and, you know, we list it all down. This is the kind of wife I want, and list it all down. If you do it God's way, they're not even like that. And He knows what we need. And he's just as my friend John Hensworth says, he often says, interjecting his great theology, God's just lucky. but he's got all the good things that we don't even know what we need. And He gives them at the point of salvation. God gave them to us at the point of saving faith. And He gives us an abundance of good things throughout living by faith, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, things that we're not even aware of our need of. But there's something else going on. There's something else going on with this. Now, we have Agathos. We don't really have anything here. So where does that come from? This is Agathos. Good. Agathos is generally translated good. So where did that thing come from in our study? Well, it's hidden because this word is in the neuter. So when it's in the neuter, thing, thing. And you got it put together. You got it understood. But there's something else going on. Let's look at Galatians 3:5. Precursor to studying Galatians, look at Galatians 3:5, a complicated passage, but it doesn't have to be a complicated passage. It's really a beautiful passage. And we'll see how it fits. Huh? Galatians 3:5. And starting Sunday, hopefully your Bibles will just open up to it by the following Sunday. And let me ask because I was doing some work. I'm doing my teaching this time different than I've ever done. My notes, I'm not going to have them nice and neat like this and typed out in an outline form and just so professional and all that kind of garbage. All I'm doing is I'm taking the text, and I've got the text down the middle with what I want to say so that we don't get too far. You won't get 50 points on what an apostle is. I'm sorry. It's not what my study's about. That's not the theme of the book. That's not what the book's about. What is an apostle? So you're not going to get that. Would it help you? Because I'm doing this for you. Would it help you if I handed you out so that a text like the one I'm going to, and you can just make your notes from the text, or would you rather just go with a blank sheet like you're doing? Don't just everybody jump in there and answer me all at once. You'd like to have it? All right. Okay, I'll make them available. Those who want them, you got them. Those who don't, you don't. Well, all right. Good. Okay. Now, let's see what Galatians 3:5 says. Powerful verse. Does he, God the Father, then, after salvation won, after our redemptive and eternal salvation, who provides? Now, it's not the same Greek word as in Hebrews 13, equipped. Here it says provide, but if you study the domain, they're both in the same domain. They both have the same concept, to equip, to provide, to supply, to give. So it's the same domain word. So it says, does he, God the Father, and that's who's doing it in our study, now it says, does he, God the Father, who provides, supplies, equips, does he then, who provides you, believer, just as we have believers in our Hebrews 13, does he then who provides you, supplies you, this is every believer, with the Spirit. Now, what is interesting here is the word Spirit in the Greek, guess what? It's a neuter. It's also in the neuter. Spirit's in the neuter. That caused a lot of battles in theology, seminary, with the Holy Spirit being in the neuter, not masculine, and certainly, you know, not feminine, but being in the neuter. And I'm not going to spend time here explaining why it's in the neuter. I just, for my point, want you to see it's in the neuter. And it's the Holy Spirit in the neuter here. So, it's the same principle we have in verse 13. And even that one who, that's the Holy Spirit, now we are told something about the Holy Spirit and why God provides us with this good thing of the Holy Spirit. Here's one of the reasons why we have the good thing of the Holy Spirit. Now, the next verse says, work miracles among you. Wrong. Wrong. This is not the word for miracles. In any way is this the word for miracles. In the Greek, the word work is a verb. It's the present active participle of inergeo. And I'll just tell you, inergeo, translated as a participle, working. That's the verb. Okay, so it says work miracles. We're going to stay with the word work, but we're going to make it a participle. Working. Now, the word miracles. This is just amazing. that they translated that miracle, but they didn't understand it. And it's not that difficult to understand. The word miracle is dunamis. Dunamis. That's where we get the word dynamite in the English. This word, almost everywhere else in the New American Standard, in some way is translated power. That's what dynamis means, power. So what we have here is working power. Then the preposition in, looks like that, translated in you. Now let's see if this makes sense. Does he, then, who provides you with the Spirit, and what I'm showing you is that's the good thing that is given to us in the Hebrews 10, one of the good things, with the Spirit that is, comma, working power in you. So what he's provided, and I'm making it clear, is he has given to you the Spirit that is, comma, working power in you. So the Holy Spirit is that power that works inside of us, is what he's saying here. Does he then who provides you with the Spirit, if you want to make a comma, that is, comma, working power in you. The power that's going to work in you. That is the Holy Spirit. And then he says, does he do it by works of the law or by the hearing with faith? In other words, did you earn it by something that you did or is it by faith? And of course the answer, as we're going to see, is that he did it by faith. We don't earn or deserve this. And that's how we're going to tap into this working power in us. Now back to Hebrews 13. Okay, Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus Christ our Lord. And then the second thing that God does, equip you in every good, if we just said in every good, starting with the Holy Spirit, to do His will, working in us. Equip you with every good. That which is pleasing in His sight. So now we know the working power that's going to cause this working power that's going to be pleasing in God's sight. Through Jesus Christ, that is our great shepherd, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Okay, what do we learn about this great shepherd? This great shepherd is going to receive all the glory. There's no glory for you and for me in this relationship we have with this great shepherd. He receives all the glory, just as the bridegroom receives all the glory. The bride doesn't receive the glory. The bridegroom receives the glory. Now, those of you that have gotten married and had to pay $1,000 and thousands of dollars for the woman to look glorious and the man stuck there with a $10 tuck, but and all the glory was for the woman, just set that aside. Let's stay with Scripture and the spiritual realm. The great shepherd receives all the glory. And the only way that this can happen in our lives is when you and I live by faith, and it is by faith that He does all the work and He receives all the glory. Okay. Equip you in every good work, that which is pleasing to do His will, and that's that working power in us, that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Who is sufficient to receive the glory? And the person who receives, is sufficient to receive the glory, does all the work. And the one who receives, does all the work is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, and where the Spirit is, the Lord is. So, it's God doing this work, and therefore, since God does this work inside of us, He receives all the glory. The great shepherd receives all the glory. That's why He's called great. The great shepherd doing all the work. Verse 20, He went down in death as the good shepherd. He came up resurrected as the great shepherd. We go down and are crucified with Him as His enemy. We come back with Him as His friend. We are resurrected in Him as His friend. So I want you to realize just how important one of these things are, knowing Jesus Christ as the good shepherd was to your life. I think every one of you know that's essential to knowing Him as the good shepherd. That's why I'm saved. Now, if we could just get into our mind as we live our life, I'm living my life in regard to the great shepherd. And if I'm doing it in regard to the great shepherd, and He receives all the glory, not me, then therefore I'm going to have to live my whole life by faith, because it is my faith that gives him this glory. The greatest glory, people, that you can give him is our faith. That's the greatest thing you can do. Greatest thing, the greatest praise that we can give him is to walk by faith. Because we are saying, I'm trusting you to do all the work inside of me, and therefore you receive all the glory. If we get our eyes off of him being the great shepherd, and he's the great shepherd of the whole flock, and therefore he is this other believer's great shepherd, not just mine, he's this other believer's great shepherd, and this takes us into our one another in our life. So the good shepherd is the cross, the great shepherd of the sheep. It's so important to us, and let's close with just a few points. One, this is the title of Jesus Christ, given by God the Father, after fulfilling the mission of the Good Shepherd on the cross. This is the title given to Jesus Christ by God the Father after fulfilling his mission as a Good Shepherd on the cross. Two, this title of Jesus Christ refers to his function in your life. It refers to his function in salvation too, living the Christian life by faith. If you don't know him as the great shepherd, you won't know how he functions in your life. Christians are so caught up in what I do. I'm good. I'm learning doctrine. I'm emoting. I'm serving. And we lose sight of the great shepherd and what the great shepherd is doing inside of us. So this is our relationship with him. Three, many of the provisions which we are given follow with the great shepherd. Let's take a look. First of all, these are some of the things that are important to shepherd. We studied this, and a lot of this is in our Psalm 23 book. His voice. His voice is what? His voice, people, is the gospel for the believer. Not the gospel for the unbeliever, the gospel for the unbeliever. It becomes so important. Tomorrow night I'm going to share with you an article I read in the paper regarding what they've learned about heart attacks and the voice, this gospel. There's a story that I read years ago, and I think it's in the book, but this man was with the shepherd, and so they're out all night, and he has his rifle, and sure enough, a wolf comes up over in the horizon there, and they could see him, and so the man raises his rifle, and he's going to take care of the wolf. Take care of the wolf, the danger's gone. And the shepherd pushed his hand down, pushed the rifle down, and he said, "Don't you want me to..." He said, "Yes, we're going to get rid of the wolf, but your rifle would kill the wolf, but it would scatter my sheep. They would run in fear. My voice will scare the wolf away and will calm my sheep at the same time." And so he made the sounds that scared the wolf away, but didn't bother to stir the sheep at all. And this is what, when we and I understand that the whole Bible is not, as it were, the Word of God. There are things in there that are the Word of God, the Gospel, the Word, the promise, so many things that we studied that really calm our soul in regard to work. Secondly, his staff and sling. This is a principle of protection. His staff and sling. As the great shepherd, he is our protection. We don't need to live in any fear. He is our protection if we know him as the great shepherd. He's not going to let things happen. His pipe and harp, fellowship. Our fellowship relationship with him. I'm just going through these quickly. Every good shepherd always carries around a jug, and our society has to quickly define that for you. And the jug isn't our typical jug. This is a jug, an empty leather bag. And if he got into a little rocky area, he'd just go over into where the water was coming down through the rock, fill it up, and he would hand water each of the sheep. So he has a jug. So that's the blessings that come from the great shepherd in our lives. You may not like this one, but it's beautiful. And the shepherd has a trusting dog. And this is analogous to the Holy Spirit, who he has entrusted us to. And to guide us and to lead us. So by the title of the great shepherd, he is the guardian of our soul. We won't exegete it, but in closing, 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 25. First Peter 2, 25, for you were continually straying like sheep. This is a reference to our status as unbelievers. But now, new status, you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. This is the great shepherd. He is the guardian of our souls. To shepherd, and guardian of your souls. To shepherd, this is the great shepherd. He takes care of all those things we've just seen. And guardian of your souls, this is the area of the battle. This is the guarded. This is guarded by Jesus Christ. This means to guard from ever being lost again. You can't lose your salvation. He is the guardian of our soul. So as our guardian, he is our great shepherd. And he says, I will never leave you. You will always have the great shepherd there as far as your life is concerned. Unfortunately, few believers really know Jesus Christ as the great shepherd of their life. And they go through fear, and they go through a lot of things in their life. So just be oriented. This is the one I want to follow. This is the great shepherd. He's the guardian of my soul. There are wolves out here. There are sheep doing bad things they shouldn't be doing out here. All this stuff's going on. I'm just going to keep my eyes. I'm just going to follow the shepherd. I'm not going to worry what other sheep do, and I'm not going to worry about the wolves. I'm not going to be concerned. I'm just going to follow the great shepherd. Keep my eyes fixed here. Keep my eyes focused here. And he will guide me as he wants. Psalm 23. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, how grateful we are that the Lord is our shepherd. And since he is indeed our shepherd, if he is that in our own soul by faith, then Heavenly Father, we have no want. When the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But first we must see him and have a relationship with him as the great shepherd by faith, and then there is no want. He will not allow there to be. How grateful we are, Father, for the various relationships that we have with Jesus Christ. We pray that you will continue to let us spend some time going over many of these relationships that we have with Christ, get to know him more intimately every day in the relationships that we have with him. We praise you, Father, in your Son's name. Amen.